down to brass tacks, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. This is Caswell Franklin.
Hello, Mr. Hi. Senator Franklin.
Caswell would do too.
Okay, Caswell. What can we do for you today?
Well, I'm hoping to do something for some workers.
Okay.
As we speak, there's a lady from a particular property in my office now, and I decided I'm going to call brass tacks because the mess that she's in, I don't want any other body else to get in. All right? If you recall, earlier in the year, the government tried to alleviate the burden on the hotel industry by extending the period for severance from 13 weeks to 22 weeks. That was bad enough in itself. But what was worse is that after that you had 4 weeks to come after the 22 weeks. After that 22 weeks, you have 4 weeks to make your claim. Then if you don't make the claim, the employer didn't have to pay you your severance. And there was no avenue then to collect that severance pay. The legislation that was passed in Parliament says the minister may by order prescribe the procedure for investigating the claims. That is Section 6B of the new legislation. It was actually Section 3, but it created the new Section 6B in the Severance Payments Act. The minister has not made any regulations, so there's no procedure for investigating and paying these claims if the employer cannot pay or refuses to pay. What has happened also, and what he said is, that act that was passed earlier in the year said, and I can read the section for you. It says here, at page 9 of that amendment act, it says, Section 38 of the Principal Act does not apply to claims made under these amendments. That sounds innocuous. It doesn't mean much, but it has a lot. It's a very important piece of legislation because if you look at the Principal Act, Section 38 says, any question arising under this Act as to the right of an employee to a severance payment or as to the amount of a severance payment shall, in accordance with the regulations made under this part, be referred to and determined by a tribunal appointed and constituted in accordance with the sixth schedule. But the amendments have wiped out the tribunal, so the tribunal cannot hear these matters. So the employer doesn't pay, and you cannot take it to the tribunal. So where are you going to get your money from? The government has moved to protect the employers and has done nothing to protect the workers. As a matter of fact, it has disadvantaged the workers so badly, and the employers are taking advantage of them, and they're abusing them. Now, yesterday, officers from the National Insurance Department went to a particular property and took application forms for severance payments to take to the tribunal, knowing full well that there is no tribunal that can hear these matters. I do not know what these people are doing. They are just deceive a whole bunch
of
people.
But let me ask you something, Caswell. You said that this was passed, right? In Parliament, this is legislation that was passed?
Yes, it was passed.
So what happened in the Cabinet? I mean, you count the Cabinet, the Senate, my apologies. What happened at Senate?
The Senate, one person opposed it. Me. It was passed in the Senate, too.
Okay.
As a matter of fact.
Because I know it can't, if the Senate, you know, pushes it back, then, you know, it can't happen.
No, but the Senate didn't push it back. Everybody loved it and burned over it and stuff. The only body who opposed it in the Senate was me. But that is not absolutely correct. The then independent senator who represented Labour opposed the legislation in her speech, but then voted for it. Then they called for a divide, and your names were called, and they have to say aye or no, your name is called. And she, even though opposed the legislation, said aye when it was voted on. So there was only one person actually in the Senate, so I couldn't stop the legislation. I can't stop the legislation, it's only me, out of 21 people. So I couldn't stop it. But it was passed. So, passed and signed by the Governor General. So it is the law. So the tribunal cannot hear the matter. You know, and if the tribunal cannot hear the matter, national insurance officers work on behalf of the tribunal. They go and do the clerical work for the tribunal, the administrative work. so that you can collect the paperwork and process them, but you can't send them to a tribunal. So why are they going and taking applications from people? There is nothing in the law right now that allows National Insurance or anybody to take claims to the tribunal for people who were laid off consequent upon the COVID emergency thing that we have here. None.
So Lewis, let's reiterate. It went, severance went from 13 weeks to 22?
It went from 13 weeks to 22 weeks. But in those 13 weeks, see, initially you had 4 weeks to make your claim.
Right.
And then after that, if you didn't make the claim within the four-week period, or you were, the employer said no, you could have taken it to the tribunal. Mm-hmm. There is no tribunal to take these claims that occurred during this.
But I'm missing something. If it gone from 13 to 22, and then after 22, you have 4 weeks in which to make the claim, and you make it within the 4 weeks, the law is that they would have to pay, right? I mean, the
law is that they're supposed to pay. But if they can't pay or they refuse to pay, mm-hmm. then there's no tribunal who can now determine that you got to pay and make an order against you. Because mm-hmm. when the tribunal makes that order against you and you don't pay, the tribunal will instruct National Insurance to pay you. Mm-hmm. This is under the normal circumstances, instruct National Insurance to pay you mm-hmm. and then go after the employer. But the tribunals have been taken out.
So there's nothing in there now saying when the hoteliers fail to pay, this is what you can. There's nothing in there to cushion that, to cushion the worker for that period of 4 weeks.
The legislation didn't take any regard for the workers' interest. It just bothered about what the hotels or the employers were facing. They never thought about what the workers would face. Now some of the employers have gotten wise and they realize that they don't have to pay. And they're not paying, and there's nothing that can force them to pay because there's no law in place right now to do that. The government wiped out the law for that period. It is sunset legislation, so the law is back in place, but it is not back in place for those people who lost their jobs in that period. The government has to fix this, even if it means that the government has to pay the severance, because they went ahead and took away the right for severance from these people. Mind you, have the right, but not know the money. You can't get the money even though you have a right.
So there's nothing in there to allow government to pay you to then go after the hoteliers for breaking?
That used to be the case normally. Mm-hmm. But government wiped out the tribunal for these workers. So they cannot go to the tribunal even though National Insurance offices are taking claims purporting to take them to the tribunal. They can't take them because the tribunal does not have any authority to hear these cases. That's what they did when they said Section 38 of the Principal Act does not apply the claims made under these amendments. Section 38 of the Principal Act empowers the tribunal. So if you don't have a tribunal, where are you taking claims to them?
So you only have then possibly lawyers to go and intervene on your behalf, which would then cost you.
Then the lawyers can only get the court to enforce the law or get the tribunals to enforce the law. There is no law to enforce. The government has passed the law and it's taken away the power from the tribunals to hear these cases.
All right. Forgive me as a layman. If the hoteliers are supposed to pay and that's the law and they don't pay, you're saying to me that I can't go to a lawyer because you, the hotelier, broke the law. A group of people can't go to a lawyer to sue the hotel for...
You can't take severance payment matters to court. Severance payment matters can only go to a severance payment tribunal.
Okay.
Only if it is an appeal. Mm-hmm. But in order to get an appeal, you have to hear, the tribunal has to hear first. So you can't, the tribunal doesn't make a decision, so you can't appeal the decision to the Court of Appeal. And you can only, you see what the government did to these workers. It is hurtful. As a matter of fact, I told the young lady, she's still sitting here with me. I tell her, this thing hurting me, this thing bothering me. I have to make other people aware of your plight. Right? And Joanne, while you're here, I'll explain something to you, because the last time I heard you on the radio, you made some remarks without understanding what happened. Mm-hmm. And I will explain to you now.
Okay.
When a union gives instructions to its workers to not to work, or to it can't suggest a worker, if the union gives you instructions and you carry those instructions, you cannot be deemed to have walk off your job and be dismissed for it. You have to give your instructions, and you are acting on the instructions of the union. If you are not acting on the instructions of your union and you do that, you can lose your job. So when I said on the program, the time when you were there, that I give instructions, that is all that I can do. If I didn't
not
give
to go to a meeting.
And if I, yes, and if I, and if the, and because not to go to the meeting is you are absent from duty without permission. The only thing that can counteract that is if your union had advised you not to go, because then it's a criminal offense to punish some person who were acting on the instructions of their union.
But this works both ways. The union can say, okay, we strike. I'm in a union. I don't have to strike if I don't want to. That's
no, you
one.
Don't have to. But if you do and you don't have union coverage, you
it's a wildcat. Yeah.
Not what people call wildcat. Wildcat means that you walk off your job.
Precisely, without the union kind of saying, okay.
And if you walk off your job, the employers can dismiss you.
Mm-hmm.
So if the union says to me, we support this action and we instruct you not to go, the government or any other employer cannot legally dismiss you because then they can face jail for it.
But Caswell, in all fairness, that was about a strike. I was talking about people, the freedom to attend a meeting, not to walk off a job.
Listen to me. When in the public service, if you fail to attend, if you were given instructions, because your boss tell you, turn up at this particular place for a meeting, and you do not turn up for that meeting, you have just... As a matter of fact, it's a major offense to do so. A major offense means that you can be dismissed. It is not so. It is actually your calling industrial action. Right?
But so that situation was not that situation, Castle.
No,
that's,
it was. It was.
That situation was allowing people to air their concerns freely. They didn't say that they had to attend. There was an invitation extended. I remember it clearly, Caswell. The invitation extended
well
to those who may want to be a part of. But I read the. I read it.
If you go to a meeting, no. Unions don't. People don't negotiate with workers. They negotiate with unions.
But it wasn't a negotiation. It was exchanging information and ideas about how we are going to function in a COVID environment. It was not about salaries. It wasn't about anything else. It was just about discussing and feeling free to have an audience with the Minister of Education at that time. So
workers,
whether or not they wanted to go, it was their choice.
No. Workers were instructed to go.
Well,
And that's why they closed the schools, because then you, if the schools are closed and they tell you to report to a particular place, that is what you do.
But I don't think at the time schools were open, it was about reopening schools. It was about what would happen when you go back to school. So there was no closure of schools.
The schools were closed.
Correct.
And the schools were closed. And you are still employed. If the employer call you out during the day and say to you, because even during your vacation payment, the children are on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know the children are on vacation, but not the teachers. The teachers can be called out. You can't refuse to come. So when they tell you the school's closed and you have a traffic meeting, you got to go.
Well, you know, Caswell, I love you from the bottom of my heart, with all due respect. This one, I believe that it may not be entirely accurate in your interpretation of it. My interpretation, and I could be wrong, was that an invitation was sent to the teachers to have an audience about what school would be like and any questions, any concerns that they may have. I didn't get it to be, you have to be there or else.
And then that meeting should be done by the Chief Education Officer, not the Minister of Government.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the minister, but you don't think that people should have a chance to have an audience with any minister?
No, not a public officer.
But you see, that's where, you see, but you see, Caswell, you see that old school way of doing things?
It's not old school, it's in the rules. You got
your. Well, maybe you need to, okay, I get, true. Let me stick a pin there. You're right. Possibly, I'm not saying to break rules. I'm saying that we do have to revisit so many laws. It ain't funny. So if it is that people are now doing this, and in particular these times, Caswell, you're going to understand these are different times.
The laws don't change.
But then I'm saying that some laws need changing, because if it
and
is...
I quite agree with you.
You know,
you call a policeman an idiot and you arrest you, that you think, but you could call him a German idiot and the guy arrest you. You see what I mean? So that law needs to go. So trust me when I tell you, mm-hmm. I know there are lots of laws that need to change, but you do not go and or ignore them because you feel they should be changed.
No, I don't think so either, but I also think that when you're operating in a pandemic, you're in a crisis, sometimes you've got to make certain judgment calls that may not necessarily be in black and white in the best interest of the country.
It can't be in black and white because you're operating in a pandemic and you have an emergency in place. The cabinet can issue instructions that will supersede all those laws.
Yes, and they did. Maybe they didn't cover every... No, let me rephrase that. Cabinet made, as you well know, about extending the emergency procedures and everything for COVID, and it extended it, I think, until March. Whether or not they dotted all their I's and crossed their T's, but could they? Maybe cut some slack here. People dying all over the world. Schools are the hardest part to get control over, as well as transport. We'd be spitting hairs now. You invite teachers, you know, Caswell, you invited teachers. It was an invitation. It was an invitation. It wasn't a directive. It was an invitation before school started.
You emailed the rest of my members then.
Oh, it was said we are directing you that you must attend. I don't know. I'm not a teacher. I was told it was an invitation.
Not just what you were told, but what the email I sent to me said that you were invited.
So, okay, what happened to the teachers that didn't attend then?
They can't do nothing.
But you just said that if you get an instruction, you had an instruction and it went up from the chief education officer too, then you can be penalized for it. Nobody was penalized for not attending.
If you go along the road at Woolworth and take out something and they catch you at the door, that means you get locked up. That means Woolworth got
bad analogy, Caswell.
If you don't enforce the law, that means that you won't break it. If the law is not enforced against
you,
doesn't mean that you won't break it, you know what I mean?
No, I know that. I understand. Listen, but Caswell, that particular incident you're talking about was an invitation, because invitations went then to the parents. You know, it was also teachers, parents, about what going back to school would be like and what teachers, are if they had any concerns, changes.
What does the minister know about all these things? That's what they got technocrats for. She's a lawyer.
But the technocrats were not present then at the same meetings?
Because there were not, that nobody, technocrats should be there and report to the minister. The minister had to call that room. You don't understand the system of government that we're in, you know.
I'm not in government.
I never went to a negotiation. He would stay upstairs and wait. Our manager would just stay upstairs and wait till the permanent secretary, the establishment come out and inform them. They never set foot in those rooms, because they know they have no calling in there. Mm-hmm. We are changing everything because we now figure it's archaic and archaic. It's done for a reason.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'd rather a minister coming forward and sitting down in front of staff so the staff can air their concerns than a minister that hiding behind a door giving instructions, and I hear, would the minister say we go do this? And the minister said, I'd rather the minister come out. In government, we know over the years how that may go. You have PSs that whatever the minister says, and I mean over the years, is what the minister says. The point is I'm making, here is a minister at that time who took the opportunity to have an audience.
Okay, that don't concern her and mess up everything.
I ain't agree, Caswell. You know we can agree to disagree. I just think that the minister gave an opportunity to have an audience with teachers, with parents, people who wanted to express their concerns with the staff of the Ministry of Education as well as the minister. And quite frankly, I think that other ministers should at least try to engage and listen to what's happening in their ministries firsthand. It would probably make better productivity.
You've got to rewrite the Constitution and everything.
But maybe they should. Maybe they should.
Anyhow, that's giant.
Okay.
I initially called is to alert people what is happening to the people, the workers in this country. They are being severely treated. They're treated very badly because government neglect. It is purely government neglect. Government should have read the piece of legislation that were put in place and understand what they put in place before they did it. Because all it has done is to hurt the workers. It has not provided a cushion. It has not done anything to help the workers.
No. Perhaps we should reach out to Minister Jordan, hopefully before the show, and to see whether or not we can get a response to
ask him if they intended to put any regulations in place, because the Amendment Act says that he must do so, and so far I have not seen any.
Okay, we're going to reach out to Minister Jordan during the news break, as I know that we have to take shortly, and hopefully we can bring some balance to this and some sort of resolution.
I
Oh, yeah, because the workers, and then if you're saying what you're saying, of course, and to the lady in front of you, I'm hoping that things will work out well, not just for you, but for all of the hotel workers who may be feeling somewhat at a disadvantage right now. Hopefully we get this straightened out in the best interest of the workers, okay? Thanks, Caswell. During the break, I took the opportunity to reach out to Minister Jordan fortunate for me, I got through because he's very busy with some finishing up some important documents, he said, but he didn't hear the program. I tried my best to explain what Senator Caswell Franklin, his concerns that he shared with us on the program. And one thing he did say is unemployment is actually 26 weeks. It was 13 to 22, and the additional four brings it to 26. Where employers now would have to make a decision within the four-week period to if you're going to sever or not. If the hotelier, in this case, does not have the money to pay, to the best of his knowledge, and I don't believe I'm misquoting him, hence why I told him that perhaps we should have a wider program on a Sunday to discuss it in more detail. But government, or should I say NIS, has the right to, if they're paying out money, the right to recoup that money from these entities so not to disadvantage the workers. So I know I had asked Senator Franklin if it is that government just can't go after these people. He said it used to happen, but I understand that it can still happen, that NIS can actually go after these businesses to recoup the money if they need to. But the whole process and reason for changing the legislation was to expedite certain things. But I do understand the concerns of the workers if it is that government puts this into law, but the hoteliers are not complying or saying that they don't have the money, and then there's no recourse, there's no tribunal, how that could be a problem. However, I was told that 26 weeks, it is in total, 13 weeks went to from 13 to 22. The NIS pays the worker, and the four-week period, then the hotelier, they have to decide if they're going to sever and pay severance. And if they can't pay the severance, I do believe that those forms that they might have been distributing, and I said might because I'm not 100% sure, that the NIS might have been giving the hotel workers was not necessarily to include the tribunal, but possibly, and please note I said possibly, to see how they can pay and recoup the monies and to sort this out. However, it needs a wider discussion. It needs a discussion with Senator Franklin, possibly Minister Jordan, and someone from finance, NIS, because NIS falls under finance, so that we can at least see where we are going, so that the hoteliers out there who are wondering where the next dollar may come from, so that we have answers for them, and not only answers, but some money, okay? And before I take another call, we had a response from the Barbados Water Authority pertaining to the Licorice Village situation. I was told that before 1963, persons living there before 1963, they would have gotten water services. Any person coming in after 1963, it would have been a problem. However, BWA, I will counter that somehow to tell you that their water services in question right now were installed after 1963 for some individuals. So this is why people are a little bit upset. I understand that the law had changed, the policy had changed. Who came before 1963 can stay. After 1963, no, because it's a zone one. However, the question remains how some got services and some still there or not. So it's something that you need to iron out. But in the meantime, if people need water to engage in proper hygiene practices, especially in a COVID environment, I'm saying you might be able to sit down with them or come up with something that you can help them in the meantime until you can fix the wider problem. Down to brass tacks, it's now 12:51. You are on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, you're on the air. All right, hello. Down to brass tacks, you're on the air. Yes, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Joyanne.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Now, I really had planned to call this program this morning, but one of your earlier callers is really prompted me to make this call.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the caller who told you about George Pilgrim crossing the floor?
Yes. We were discussing, you know, that he said something to that effect.
But that is so misleading. George Pilgrim never crossed the floor.
But he did said in the end, he said, well, no, but he did say something about his plans, and I corrected him and said, unless George Pilgrim said that to him, then we can't assume where Mr. Pilgrim, he didn't say to anybody that he's going anywhere.
Right, correct. But he just comes to hoodwink people as we usually do. I mean, if you had the opportunity to play back some of the recent or the most recent contribution from that same caller, you would see that he was one of the people. In fact, I heard it coming from him. He was, at a point of time, in full support of Anthony Wood crossing, leaving the Barbados Labour Party. And he supported the decision from Anthony Wood. And he didn't question anything about it. Well, he began to question then after Wood crossed the floor. Sorry, resigned. I keep saying cross the floor. Afterward, Anthony Wood resigned from the Barbados Labour Party. That same caller began to question the leadership of the Barbados Labour Party. He was trying to put it or make people believe Anthony Wood leave because of a problem with the Barbados Labour Party. But now he comes singing a different song. And I wish you could listen or play back on the same program that he was on when he said those words. But I'm going to close by telling you this. I believe that George Pilgrim would rejoin the Democrat Labour Party after a change of the leadership of that same Democrat Labour Party. And I believe the change of the Democrat Labour Party would not be too long. George Pilgrim going to rejoin the Democrat Labour Party. That is all I have to say to you. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Need to turn your radio off, please. Could you turn your radio off and we can have a conversation? Don't brass tacks, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Ms. Higgs.
Good afternoon. Can you turn your radio off, please?
Certainly, yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be too long. I would like to find some room for you, Ms. Higgs, to do this heavy lifting in the Barbados Labour Party. I would love to find some room for you to help this heavy lifting in the Barbados Labour Party. Have a good afternoon.
Well, I don't even know how to respond to that because I think it's not about the Barbados Labour Party or the Democratic Labour Party. I think we all need to get together and do the heavy lifting so that the heavy lifting becomes lighter lifting so that the load is shared. And I certainly try my best as a citizen in this country, regardless of whatever government is in power, to do my share of lifting, period. And that will be until the good Lord decides that he's going to take me home.